Welcome to the Christ Life Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Olubi Johnson. For more information about this podcast and our other resources, please visit spcconline.org. God bless you.
I'm going to continue my series today on keeping God's judgments as recorded in the lives of the great saints of both the Old as well as the New Testament. And at the moment we've been studying and looking at the life of Abraham. The scripture tells us in Hebrews chapter 6, I believe it is, it says that don't be lazy, but be imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And in particular, he references Abraham. This is Paul. He does it twice. He does it in Hebrews. He does it in Romans chapter 4. Talking about the faith of Abraham and how Abraham believed God even when it was very difficult to do so, when at the age of almost 100, he still hadn't had a baby from his wife, Sarah. And he said, we should imitate him. We should follow his example. So that as he got the blessings, we too will get the blessings in our own lives. I cannot overemphasize the fact that all the things that are written in Scripture were not just written for information or entertainment. They were written for inspiration to inspire us to act on God's word so that the same things we see in the lives of these people will be manifest in our own lives. That's why he talked about keeping God's testimonies. So what God did through Abraham, what God did through Joseph, what God did through Moses, what God did through Joshua, Caleb, Ruth, Samson, David and Solomon, Elijah and Elisha, what God did Mordecai and Esther, what God did through Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, what God did through Paul, what God did through John. All these things, they were written, the Bible says, for our learning. They were written so that we can learn. And then it doesn't even stop there. This is the amazing thing about Scripture. It says that, you know, we should do better than them. It said because we're living under a better testament, that is established upon better promises. In Hebrews chapter 11, he closes that magnificent chapter on the hall of fame of faith and says, but all these, he said they did not complete. He said they could not be made complete without us. Oh, I have a word for you. The earth is waiting for you. The Bible says the whole creation is waiting and travailing for the manifestation of the sons of God. But I just got a word from heaven right now. Heaven too is waiting on you. Just as the earth is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, the heavens are waiting for us to manifest the glory of God. Because without us, their work is not complete. It is like running a relay race. The race is not over yet. The race began in the Garden of Eden. And God began to work through Adam and then Abel and then Seth, down through the genealogies, got to Enoch to Methuselah to Lamech to Noah to Abraham to Isaac to Jacob to the 12 patriarchs. From then we got to Moses, and it goes on like that. We are the last leg of the race. I just got that from heaven now. So not only is the earth waiting for us, he said, up here, we are watching anxiously. We are watching with great expectation. Hebrews chapter 11. Some people are not familiar with that scripture. I teach Hebrews on a consistent basis. I've been doing it since we started Scripture Pastor. I must have done it about 3 or 4 times over these last 40 years. I teach it like maybe once every 5 years or something. It gets around to Hebrews again. And I want to quote it. I have said it, but I want us to read it. Hebrews 11. And I'm going to read verses 39 and 40, which is just the end of that chapter. And you know, all of us read those things and we get excited and say, ah, only I wish I could be like Abraham. Oh, I wish I could be like Moses. But he says, you haven't even started. Look at what he said. He said, but all these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. What promise? It's the promise of eternal life. What promise? Christ in you, the hope of glory. God, I didn't hear you. Verse 40. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made complete. We are the last leg of the relay race. It's been a marathon, obstacle, relay race, starting from the Garden of Eden. We are to finish it in this generation. Hence, these present truth prophetic messages. We're looking at Abraham. In our last lesson, my teaching on this, we saw the birth of Isaac by tremendous miracle. God, the Bible says, Sarah is in this same Hebrews 11. She received strength to conceive. She didn't believe at first. You know, she laughed. She didn't believe God at first, but she changed. You know, Abraham too, you know, was 99. It didn't look possible, but God did it. And we saw how she went to Abimelech and God delivered her supernaturally. And finally, Isaac was born. The name Isaac means laughter. And God was laughing at the devil. The devil, I thought it wouldn't happen. Just like he's doing today. He was fighting to see to it that Abraham has no seed. Because God has already made a promise to Abraham and to his seed. And if Abraham doesn't have and it couldn't be Ishmael. Because Ishmael was born of the flesh, not of the spirit. So it had to be, you know, it says, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And time was not going, time had gone. At 100, all hope is lost. In the natural. The Bible says, who are against hope, believed in hope. It's supposed to inspire us. If Abraham at 100 didn't give up, what are you giving up at 64? What are you giving up at 44? You have a few problems in your life, a few challenges. You say, oh, well, you know, time has gone. I'm ready, 70 years old. Oh, come on. The father of faith made it at 100. It's to tell you that it's never too late for you. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. They without us should not be made complete. So Isaac is born, and then Isaac and Ishmael had to be separated. We looked at this last time. God had to send Hagar away, you know, and Abraham didn't want to do it out of sentiment. But God said, now is the time. You should not have listened to Sarah the first time, but now you got to listen to her. Send her away. And he said, don't worry about it. He said, don't worry about Ishmael. I'll take care of him. And God has been true to his word. He said, I'll make him a great nation. All the Arabs are descendants of Ishmael. Interestingly enough, Pastor, do you know what he did? He gave them oil under their... He gave them oil under their land. Some of the richest people on the earth today are the sons of Ishmael. Fulfilling God's promise. He says, I'll make a great nation out of them. But they are not the chosen seed. I'm not going to go there this afternoon. Well, that's not totally true. They are the chosen seed. But they have to get it through Jesus. See, all Gentiles, including the Arabs, the Nigerians, the Chinese, Japanese, the English, the German, all, watch this, all nations of the earth have been blessed in Abraham. I don't care what your lineage is. I don't care what your race is. You're already blessed through Abraham. He said, I have made you a father of many nations. He didn't say, I have not made you the father of Israel alone. I have made the father of many nations. That's why he changed his name from Abraham to Abraham. Because through Jesus, and that's what we're going to see this afternoon, all nations are engrafted into the fatness of the olive tree of Israel, and all the blessings of God given to Israel are available to every tribe, tongue, and kindred. So, truly, our Arab brethren, you know, and I call them brethren because they're the seed of Abraham, you know, are blessed. The same blessings Israel has, they have it. It makes complete foolishness for them to be fighting Israel. Cooperate with Israel and you get all the blessing. Wow! See how Satan has blinded humanity. Now this wave of anti-Semitism that's going all over the Middle East, then spread to the campuses in America. You know, and everybody's, you know, coming against Israel, not knowing that that's where their blessing is. So we now come to Genesis chapter 22. And here we see the sacrifice, the giving up of Isaac for sacrifice. This is probably one of the most important parts, if not the most important part, of the story of Abraham. Because it is at this point that the covenant that God gave to Abraham becomes confirmed and established forever. And as we will read, you know, you will come to see that in walking with God, it's the same with everybody. You get to a point in your walk with God where the thing becomes sealed. It cannot be reversed anymore. Before then, there's things you can do to mess it up. And God will have to find another way. But there is a point in time, there is a place in your walk with God where you get to where it can no longer be reversed. That's the point Abraham got to when he obeyed God in the giving up of Isaac. This is a very important truth. I taught this many years ago, precisely 19. You know, it was 2005 on the overcoming, becoming an overcomer. If you look at their seven rewards, the ultimate reward is to sit on God's throne. But before you get there, there is one reward where you become a pillar in the house. And watch this, you can no more go out. It's sealed. Once you get that reward, you've entered into a place where your destiny has become secured. Before then, there are things you can do or not do that can mess it up. But once you pass that Rubicon, you get to a place where you can't go back. But by that time, your character is formed. You yourself are not going to do anything that's going to mess it up, because you would have got to a place where your senses have been exercised to the discerning of good and evil. You have now been established experientially to love righteousness and hate iniquity. God can go to sleep and trust you. It's available, folks. It's available. And that's what we want to talk about today. Verse 1, chapter 22. And it came to pass after these things being the temptation of the challenges they had with what's his name? Abimelech, the birth of Isaac, the quarrel between Isaac and, well, it wasn't really a quarrel, they're just children, you know, Ishmael, the contention. Satan tried to mess things up between Ishmael and Isaac, the insistence of Sarah to separate them, and it was the will of God, you know, because in Isaac was the seed going to be called. So after all of this, some years later, we're looking at history. Church history tells us that, you know, and Jewish, the Jewish rabbis, you know, there's something in Jewish writings called the Talmud. It's not scripture, but it makes a lot of commentary about things that happened at the time, and it gives you some light, you know. Isaac was maybe 15, and between 15 and 20 years old. He wasn't a child. He wasn't like 5 years old, no. You don't take a five-year-old boy on a long journey. Are you listening to me? You know, nobody knows for sure, but you're looking at, you know, in his late, mid to late teens or early 20s. And it is at this time, now, let me just press a little bit in here to provoke your thinking. That's one of the purposes of the scriptures, to inspire you. You see, most people don't read the Bible and they think. They read the Bible like a storybook and they don't even meditate on it and think on it. At this time, Abraham is about 115, 120 years old. Look at how long it took for him to get to the place where his destiny becomes sealed. We start at 75. To 100, that's 25. So you add another 15, 20, you're looking at 40, 50 years. Why are these things written? Why did God go into detail to tell us the age, tell us the time, so that you can think and you can see what happened in there, and then you can look at your own self and find out where you are and say, well, if that took, then there's hope for me. Who's still on my side? And it came to pass, I didn't hear you, after these things, that God did tempt. That is the wrong word. The best word is test. You know, the Bible says God does not tempt any man with evil. And he's not tempted with evil. So that's why you have to know all the Bible, all scripture. You can't just know one scripture and you take that out of its context. It's not, God didn't tempt him. God was testing him. God wanted him to secure his covenant. That was the purpose of the back of God's mind. It wasn't to, you know, make Abraham feel bad or anything. God wanted to say, aha, he's old enough now. He's mature enough now. He's known me enough now. This is the time for us to secure the covenant. So he gives him a test. It's not an easy test, but heaven is talking to me this afternoon. It talks to me all the time, but today is a little bit different. Amen. You know, it wasn't an easy test, but God just told me now. He said, but it was an easy test. It sounds paradoxical. You know why? The years of experience that Abraham had with God made the test easy. What he was asked to do made the test hard. But the experiences that he had had these past 25, 40 years, even the boy he was looking at was what made the test easy. I just got that from heaven now. And it's the truth. When you think of it through, it's true. It was hard, but then it was easy. And that's why Abraham passed. Exactly what I told you now was what Abraham thought about and made him pass the test. And you know, you and I need to learn the same, this lesson. When you are facing some tests, look back. Is it not God who brought me here? You are not a problem. The problem becomes a non-issue when you consider where God has brought you from. That is what faith is. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. And that is how it comes. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You look at the report of all God has done, then you know, because you know him. You've been working with him for some years. You know his character. You know what he did at this time. You know what he did at that time. You know what he did at that. Then this one, yes, this one looks impossible. But that same God, he did not, he will do this one too. It's very important. And he said unto him, Abraham. And he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son. I like God. God has a, he has a poetic way of talking. You know, if you, the more you get to know God, you will understand this. He's a very, there's a word I'm looking for to say it reverentially. You know, God is a very, he can be, I wish my wife was here. She's the English expert. You know, he can be very poetic, and he can be, he's, you have a twinkle in his eye. You don't know God. You know, he laughs, you know. You know, and he will know what he's doing. And he will be smiling inside. The more you know him, you know, okay, Lord, I know everything is okay. You know, he had that at the back of his mind. He said, Abraham! Say, yeah, yeah. Then he begins to talk to him. And he talks in a very flowery kind of language. Now, take thy son. Thy only son, Isaac, as if he didn't know. Whom thou lovest, as if he didn't know. They're all deliberate. That's the kind of person God is. And get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. God gives him enough information to start the journey, but not enough to finish it. He doesn't know where he's going. All he knows is the Mount of Moriah. He has to obey to the point of Moriah before they can point out the particular mountain. And God deals with us like that too. He will tell you enough to get you started. You must start out in faith. Then you will get to a point where he will now give you more information. Most people don't want to start until they get the picture, and you will never go far with God like that. Because, watch this, Pastor Andrew, without faith, it is impossible to please God. You cannot walk with God except by faith. Trust in his character. Pristinely, that's what faith is. It's trust in the character of the person of God. I've walked with him enough to know that he doesn't lie. He does not torment. He won't put your hope high and then dash it. He doesn't do that. That's not his character. When Jesus appeared, God in the flesh, he revealed who God was to us in this simple word that he gave us. He said, if any of you has a son and you ask an egg, will he give him a stone? If you ask for this, will he give him a serpent? He's trying to tell you his character. He said, if you, being evil, that's with your sin nature and everything, if you know how to give good things to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give good things to them that ask him? you can get it settled in your mind about God's character. He's not going to disappoint you. He's not going to disgrace you. I was listening to some beautiful music on Friday. The Ibadan Philharmonic Society, they did something in honor of Professor Banjo. It's his 90th birthday. And they did some works from Dayo Adedeke. They were very beautiful Yoruba renditions. You know, things like Iwe Kiko, La Isioko, and all that. And there was one particular one they sang. I don't know it very well, you know, but I just remember it. He said, you know, they were singing. I'm just going to tell you the words. He said, you know, he said it in Yoruba, you know, Oni Timi Loju. Oni Jeko Fimi Rerin. In our language, that means God will not allow you to be put to shame. That's the person we're dealing with. Most of us don't know him. Your anxiety. You don't know God yet. In Yoruba's, and there was other things in that song, you know, and it's something we also say, Olorun ti loju. Olorun to feyin. That means you can lean on him and he will not put you to shame. At this point in his life, at 115, maybe 120 years old, Abraham had walked enough with God to know what I'm saying. If God was going to put him to shame, it would have been that Isaac would not have been born. That God gave him Isaac, there's nothing else he cannot do. Oh, God, give the Lord a clap offering, somebody.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. We believe these words have empowered you to live a victorious, transcendent life in Christ. Our mission is to equip God's people for service and build up the body of Christ until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. We encourage you to enjoy and share from thousands of resources, including books, sermons, prophecies, and articles available on our website, spcconline.org. Thank you, and God bless you.